Hey, yo, yo, yo. You listen to the Half Right Podcast.
Welcome to another edition of the Half Right Podcast. You are now tuned in with Lakia. I'm one third of our broadcasting team here. Max and Fonz are off living their best football lives, watching their teams. We have Fonz, who's a fan of the Giants, Max, who's a fan of the Rams. And then there's me, who I'm a Steelers fan. And the Dynasty, we in some dark ages, man. We are 2-6. So I have more free time on my hands to bring you guys these weekly recaps. So we're going to be getting into Raw, NXT, SmackDown, following this CM Punk story and what some people backstage at AEW are talking about with his return or his release. And then we'll get into a little bit of Crown Jewel. We do have our prediction show coming, as well as our next week's recap will be a Crown Jewel post show where we talk about our predictions, where we write, and the pay-per-view overall. So stay tuned for that. Getting into what has been going on this week, the Half Right Podcast would like to send our condolences to Kevin Nash as he has announced the passing of his son, Tristan. It has been a rough year for Kevin Nash in losing his best friend, Scott Hall, and now his only child, his son. And we wish him nothing but the best as he has to now deal with this new reality and this unexpected loss, which, unfortunately, when it comes to death and grief, and it's just so unexpected, and it's never something that you can get used to. It's just something that you have to deal with. So again, we send our condolences to Kevin Nash. Switching gears to a more positive note, Sheamus got married this weekend in NYC. I believe it was the same day as SmackDown. So that explains why he was written off with his arm being attacked by Solo Sikoa in Sami Zayn last week. So congrats to Sheamus and his new bride. There are two new matches that were announced for Crown Jewel. We'll get into that. And then there's Sasha Banks, who is continuing to troll us on Twitter. She tweeted, "I hope the rumors are true." We have no idea what those rumors are alluding to. And the question remains of if and when she and Naomi will return to WWE. It's not like they will not be wanted to come back with Triple H at the head of this regime. We know that he can bring any and everybody back. And they were just at a Black Panther screening. Sasha, Naomi, Jimmy Uso was there. The New Day, they even did the Beyonce Cuffa Challenge for TikTok. So they've been having a blast in their hiatus. So it's a matter of, I'm still holding out hope that they're going to return. I think that now is a prime time. Not only do we have Survivor Series War Games coming up, we also just have this Bianca and Bayley feud going on. Bianca has nobody on her side. Asuka, and Alexa Bliss were with her, but they're off doing whatever else now. And now Bayley has damage control with Io Sky and Dakota Kai. That's a tongue twister there. So we've also seen behind the scenes, if you follow Sasha and Naomi on their social media platforms, that they have been hanging out with Bayley. We also know that they're cool with Bianca after WrestleMania. They posted their titles together. So this is a great time to bring them back in. Although we know that Sasha and Bayley are besties, Sasha and Naomi never lost those tag titles. They said, "We not over here just going to hype up a division that doesn't even exist. Y'all have us doing stupid stuff. We don't want to do it." So they never lost the titles. This could be a way to bring them back into the fold. Bianca is going to be putting her title on the line versus Bayley at Crown Jewel in a last woman standing match. We already know there's going to be some interference. So if there's going to be interference from Damage Control, and now we'll get into Raw and how Nikki Cross is back in the mix with that. And then we have Sasha and Naomi still in the win. I mean, they could do something special in Saudi. They could do something special. So let's go ahead and get into Raw. Balor defeated Karl Anderson. They're going to have a match at Crown Jewel. It's a six-man tag match. The OC versus Judgment Day. R-Truth defeated The Miz. Shout out to Truth for getting his hometown love in Charlotte. Austin Theory, Mr. Money in the Bank, defeated Mustafa Ali. Mustafa Ali is still beefing with the current U.S. champ, Seth Rollins. And there's an interesting theory, pun intended, on Austin Theory and the Money in the Bank contract. There's an idea that he could be holding this until the end of his contract. But then
there's talks of these specific match pay-per-views being eliminated, such as Money in the Bank, Hell in a Cell. They want to leave Hell in a Cell to be a special match. And then Money in the Bank, we know that it started at WrestleMania, so they're thinking of moving it back there. So this could be one of those things where we have another Seth Rollins when he was added to the triple threat match. Well, he made it a triple threat match when he was added to the Brock Lesnar Roman Reigns, and he ended up winning back at WrestleMania. I don't remember what number that was, but that was his big moment. And then the same thing could happen with Austin Theory. He has had failed attempts of even cashing in, but he still is holding on to the briefcase. So it'll be interesting to see what they do with that. And I think that they should let go of some of these pay-per-views because, one, we have pay-per-views like every month. This year, we're seeing a shift. Day one, I believe, was canceled for 2023. So Triple H is trying to bring back, how can I phrase this? He's trying to bring back the pay-per-views to be more special and not just one-off type of things. So having those two pay-per-views and then putting more emphasis and focus on others, because it's like these overseas ones, Clash at the Castle, I think the match card was phenomenal. But Crown Jewel, we know they have their commitment to Saudi. And I know that they're going to be doing another pay-per-view in Canada. I don't think it's like an exclusive one, but they're going to be doing one in Canada. So it's going to be interesting to see how they move things around and what the future of pay-per-views for WWE will look like. Omos was in a four-on handicap match leading up to his match versus Braun Strowman at Crown Jewel. We know that Omos won. This is a joke. That match can go very, very well. It can go very, very bad. Elias defeated Gable. We have Riddle, who's over here helping out Elias. We'll see what happens with that. And then Baron Corbin is still being accompanied by JBL, and he defeated Johnny Gargano. Johnny Gargano is also still in the mix with The Miz, blowing this whistle or whatever. I don't know what they're doing with Johnny Gargano at the moment. And then, speaking of Johnny Gargano, his bestie Tommaso Ciampa has confirmed that he underwent surgery on his hip labrum and he'll be out for 9 months, so we won't be seeing him until sometime next summer. And I know that injuries suck, but this is why Triple H bringing back as many people as he has, even though it felt like it was just a rush of people. This is why bringing so many people back is important, because it adds depth to the roster. When superstars are either injured or you're seeing the same faces all the time for the storylines that they're in, when they need to take that break, you need to have people to come into that slot, or it's going to get very stale and very old. So adding people that are star players is very crucial to the WWE and giving these superstars rest to be the end to storylines, to give new people opportunities to come in. So I'm here for the people that he's bringing in. It could feel like too much too soon from the likes of Braun Strowman being brought back. Who else do we have? Braun Strowman, the Ciampas, not Ciampas, the Garganos with both Candice and Johnny Gargano, and so many others that have been brought back. He just brought someone back on SmackDown. We'll get to that. So there's so many people that have been brought back, so many people that still could be brought back. There's people on AEW when their contracts are up that could be brought back. So let's just think of it as depth when having people being brought back to the roster and not just he's doing too much too soon. Yeah, just think of it as depth. Over on NXT, we're not even going to get into the whole show. Let's talk about the highlight of what happened at the end. The Rock's daughter, Simone Johnson, who is now competing as Ava Rain in W, who is now competing as Ava Rain, debuted with the Schism faction. Now, Simone is a, I'm going to address her as her wrestling name. Ava is a fourth generation superstar, and it's a known fact that she wants to carve her own path and didn't want to be associated with her family, because a lot of people are like, why didn't they just put her with the Bloodline? Because she don't want to be with the Bloodline. Okay. She already has big shoes to fill in being The Rock's daughter. Okay. We have Peter Maivia, Rocky Johnson, The Rock, and now Simone Johnson, if she were to go by that name, how Dominic Mysterio is using the Mysterio name. If she were to go by that, she was going to get flack for that. Now that she's not joining the Bloodline, she's getting flack for that. So when you are a generational superstar, you're always going to get flagged and compared to what you should be doing versus you carving your own path. We don't even know how she is in the ring yet, so she's going to be getting flack for that. It's like she's still in developmental. We haven't seen her at all. I believe she's been in NXT since 2020. It's been a couple of years. And I mentioned before in one of these recaps that Triple H is putting superstars on the clock. If you're not getting anywhere in 2 years, then there's no point in you being here, because NXT is to get you to the main roster. It's for you to develop a character to take it to the next level on the main roster, where you could main event, where you could be at the bigger pay-per-views, where you're going to get the bigger audience. So having that clock, I'm really interested in seeing what she's going to do. But there's a lot of pressure on her being a fourth generation superstar, and also just having the Samoan dynasty that she is affiliated with. When you have the likes of Yokozuna, the Rikishi, the Usos, even Roman Reigns now, Umaga, it's like Afa and Sika, legends in their own right. It's like you have all the Wild Samoans. You have all of these people that are affiliated with her, that are affiliated with The Rock. And then her dad is The Rock. Like, you got to give her a break. She just debuted, guys. Give her a break. Let's see what they're going to do with her. So that was the highlight of NXT. Moving right along to SmackDown. The return that I mentioned was Emma. Emma was released by WWE 5 years ago, and she was the answer to Ronda's open challenge, and she lost the match. Granted, Ronda is doing very heelish things, and she did rake Emma's eyes. And heel Ronda is now getting backup from her bestie, Shayna Baszler, which is not needed. Ronda doesn't need power behind her. Ronda needs a mouthpiece, because I absolutely hate Ronda Rousey on the mic. It's not for her. It's not her thing. We know that she's not going to get someone like Paul Heyman, because Paul Heyman is over here with Roman right now. He's over here with Roman. So who can we get to come and help her? Baron Corbin now has a mouthpiece in a way with JBL. Ronda needs the same thing. If you are going to have Shayna come in and have this Ronda with the whole, I don't have to do no dirty work. I don't got to say nothing. I don't have to do nothing. I'm just here to compete. I'm putting up my title every week. And if you want to get crazy, I got Shayna to choke you out. She could do that too. But I really think that Ronda needs a mouthpiece. Speaking of someone who does not need a mouthpiece and can cut a hell of a promo, Bray Wyatt. Is he a heel or a babyface? With the crowd's reaction, he is definitely a babyface. Another week of a cryptic promo of Bray saying that I'm not hiding behind a mask. I am talking to you, the people. Look at me. We're going to... Bray, we know that there's a little bit of a devil inside of you. But then there's this masked figure that comes and takes over the end of his promo. So it's like, is Bray a good guy? Is Bray not a good guy? But the inside reports say that Bray is now being booked as the top babyface on SmackDown, with Drew McIntyre being number two. Then Hit Row revealed their mystery partner for the six-man tag match versus Legado del Fantasma. And it was not a fourth member reveal, as many people were predicting, speculating. The mystery partner was just Shinsuke Nakamura, and Hit Row picked up the win. And then the highlight of SmackDown, y'all. Okay, the Bloodline, for this promo that they cut on SmackDown for their segment, has raked in over 12 million views. Okay, over 12 million views. If you haven't seen it, go watch it on YouTube. To sum it up, following a match versus between Solo and Sammy versus the Brawling Brutes, y'all know Hothead Jay got to come in. Main event Jay Uso got to come in. And he's arguing with Sammy. Then we hear Roman's music. Roman comes out, okay? Let me backtrack a little bit. Before Roman even comes out, Solo steps in to defend Sammy, as if to protect Sammy from being hit by Jay. And Jay is looking at Solo like, you're my brother. Like, what are you doing? What the fuck are you doing? So then, because he gets in Solo's face, his twin Jimmy turns him around and was like, no, what are you doing? So there's just such heated exchange without them even talking. The only one talking and yelling is Jay. Jimmy is just staring at him like, you're doing too much. Solo staring at him like, you doing too much. And Sammy's like, I don't even know what I did. And Jay is like, I don't like you. You're not family. Why are you here? So then Roman comes out. And Roman goes, I want the problem fixed right now. So then Sammy starts being apologetic, and he's like, I don't know what I did to offend you. I'm sorry. He holds out his hand for Jay to shake. You think Jay shook his hand? No, of course not, because Jay, he's Hothead Jay. Main event Jay Uso has now turned into Hothead Uso. So he holds out his hand, and then he's like, yo, Sammy, get your hand out my face. Like, move your hand away from me. I'm not shaking your hand. I don't like you. I don't like your hair. I don't like the way you look. I don't like the shirt you got on. Like, how do you think you're part of the Bloodline if you ain't blood? Ain't no one in this room like you. I just got the balls to say it out loud. So Sammy's like, oh my God, like, what did I do? Like, I'm here. Like, I be helping you. Like, I'm the honorary ooze. I don't know what. Like, Jay's just being upset. And then they going back and forth. And then Jay had the balls. Because, you know, Jay said whatever the fuck he want to say. Jay said, I don't give a damn what the tribal chief said. Okay. Did Roman almost beat his ass in that moment? When Roman heard that, Roman had his head down as they're going back and forth like, oh my God, y'all are being annoying. You're getting on my nerves. But as soon as Jay said, I don't give a damn what the tribal chief said, because Jay last week wasn't supposed to go after Logan Paul and he ended up getting punched in the face. You know that it only takes one punch, knockout punch. So Jay wasn't supposed to go against that. And Sammy's like, yo, you're like doing things the tribal chief says that you're not supposed to be doing. Like, I'm just here trying to help. I'm trying to be the peacemaker here. And then Jay hits him with the, I don't give a damn what the tribal chief said. And Roman turned around and got in his face. And Sammy was like, oh. But see, Jay ain't no punk. He dropped the mic and was like, psh, psh. Like, I'm ready for whatever, cuz. I'm ready for whatever. Like, you want to be my ass? You want to fight? Let's fight. Hothead, not thinking because he's fueled off of emotions. And if you're fueled off of emotions, 9 times out of 10, you're not thinking rationally. So then Zayn, you know, Sammy comes back and was like, Roman, what Jay said was really messed up, but he didn't mean it. And he goes, well, he's not being very oozy. And once Sammy said oozy, it was the comedic relief from all that tension of Roman staring down Jay, contemplating whether he was going to beat his ass. It's like once Sammy said oozy, they lost it. They all broke character. Roman broke character. Jay broke character. Jimmy's in the back laughing. They didn't show Solo. Shout out to Solo for not. Where's the fans at to show Solo laughing? Because I know he was. Paul, he always put his hand over his face in distress. So they all broke character. And he even got Roman to say oosie. Roman's like, you're not being very oosie. You want to be very oosie? Well, you need to be. Or else I'm going to start calling Sammy Uso. He's going to become a part of this family. So he said, if y'all don't figure this out, we're just going to name him Sammy Uso, y'all. And Sammy was like, oh, my God. And Jay was like, hell nah, bro. Like, that's not happening. So that was the recap of SmackDown. I highly encourage y'all, if you want to laugh, if y'all want to see like a real soap opera, go watch that segment. Go watch that. Now, the Usos are going to be going up against the Brawling Brutes at Crown Jewel. And Crown Jewel, the date, November 5th, is a week out from from the Usos beating New Day's record. The New Day have a record of 483 days as champ. The Usos are like 470 right now. And I think that the Usos should be, if anybody should beat the New Day's record, it should be the Usos. The Usos have been putting in the work. I know that they're heels now. I know it's some people are like, I don't really like them with the bloodline, but the Usos have paid their dues. They have put in the work. So if anybody, especially knowing the feud that New Day and the Usos have had during the New Day's reign, this would be a great moment for the Usos, and they deserve it. Roman is the top dog. You know, I don't think that they should lose the titles to the Brawling Brutes, because this is not like a storyline that has been like built because the beef has really been between lately in the storyline has been between Solo Sokoa and Sami Zayn versus the Brawling Brutes, not the Usos. So they're throwing the Usos and the Brawling Brutes into this match, and I don't think this is the one where they need to drop the title. And then a week later, they're gonna be able to beat the New Day's record, and I think that's what should happen. Is it going to? I don't know. They could fall short. They could throw in a whoopsie daisy and have them on SmackDown in another tag match, and then some shit happens and they don't beat the. This is going to come down to like a clock type of thing. There is going to be a SmackDown before November 12th, which is a Saturday. So I'm just hoping that the New Day does have their title beaten, their record, excuse me, by the Usos, because if anyone should do it, it should be the Usos. So my prediction is that the Usos do beat the New Day's record of 483 days, surpassing them as the longest champs, the longest tag champs of all time as of November 12th. So shout out to the Usos there, because that's going to be a moment for them. The Usos have gone from being on pre-shows to now we have main event Jey Uso to now them about to be the longest reigning tag team champs. Like, these guys were the face paint and all that. Once they changed over to that day one music, they've been beasts, okay? They've been ruthless. And that's not to say that they couldn't compete before, but that character change really put them into another stratosphere. That feud with the New Day really put them into another stratosphere. And I'm so happy that tag team wrestling is still alive and that the Usos are still together. They haven't done any fuck shit with them in the previous years of breaking them up or whatever, what have you. Even with Jay competing against Roman 2 years ago, that feud they had, bringing Jimmy back into the fold and then them getting on the same page, a faction that we've been wanting, maybe not the heel version, but it's what we've been wanting. And now we literally have it. I have no idea what they're going to be doing with the Bloodline. No idea whatsoever. But it'll be interesting to see how it pans out. Is Sammy going to end up getting Jay jumped out? Or is Jay getting jumped out just a decoy to really jump his Sammy out? Are we going to get Jay be the one to take the title from Roman and have like that Kofi Mania type of vibe? The possibilities are endless. And I know a lot of people are like, oh, let's bring back The Rock. You don't need him now. And Roman versus The Rock doesn't need a title. This could be very interesting. We're in like a dead space with wrestling a little bit with WWE because it's the end of the year, and then they're going to be gearing up for Royal Rumble. There is no December pay-per-view. There is an NXT pay-per-view, but there's no main roster pay-per-view in December. And then January, all you're going to have is the Royal Rumble. And then after the Rumble, the big one after that is going to be Mania? Come on, guys. They could really do something special with this. Sammy don't need to get jumped out just yet. They gave him some merch, so I don't see that happening. Anyway, we could talk about the Bloodline all day, but let's talk about CM Punk, okay? I've been reporting, doing my reporter duties on what the AEW crew, the superstars, think of CM Punk. So Chris Jericho told CM Punk that he was a cancer to the locker room and a detriment to the company. For those that don't know what's happening with CM Punk, CM Punk went on a rampage after a pay-per-view event, and he fought with the Young Bucks as well as, I believe it was, it was the Elite. He fought the Elite, and he has been suspended, and now there's been talks of him leaving, and then there's been talks of him coming back to WWE. I personally don't think that CM Punk needs to bring that energy, that hostile energy, the thinking that he's better and that he's God's gift to pro wrestling, to WWE. We're good. Triple H is going to do whatever's best for business and whatever's going to make sense and whatever's going to make that money, honey. He's going to do what's best. But CM Punk and that energy, he needs to like hone that and do something with it, because nah, we're good. We don't need that. We have enough on our plate than have to deal with that. So Chris Jericho's thoughts on CM Punk is like, nah, mm-mm. And then as for the All Elite stars voting CM Punk out of AEW, because we have that line where there are executives in AEW that also compete as superstars. And that can be a fine line that should not be crossed, but it has been. Cody Rhodes was one of those people when he had his time in AEW that he was also an executive and a superstar. So you have to make intelligent decisions and professional decisions when you decide to put on that executive hat and that superstar hat. Because when someone comes at you and confronts you as a talent, you are no longer a superstar. You have to be an executive and you have to act accordingly. And that's not what happened with the Elite. There's talks of the Elite coming back sooner than CM Punk. But there were the report says a few names were mentioned, with Chris Jericho being the name mentioned most, but that many, if not most of the key top names were saying that they wouldn't want to work with him, referring to CM Punk. One top star noted, Punk won't be back. His value on screen isn't 1% worth the hassle and black cloud he causes backstage. Another top superstar noted that the team has decided he's out, and regardless of some being willing to work with him, the collective decided that he was voted off the island. And then there is Britt Baker, who made a comment of what's so toxic is when somebody thinks that they're bigger than the company or that the company needs them. There's literally no one in AEW that they need other than Tony Khan to survive. Everyone can be replaced. And like I just said, CM Punk really thinks that he's God's gift to pro wrestling. CM Punk coming back to WWE, would it get a pop? Absolutely. But the pop is not going to be as sweet as if they could have really hashed things out and he have never gone to AEW to begin with. Granted, a lot of the people that CM Punk wrestled with during his time in WWE are no longer there anyway. and he's going to be around the new guys, and his veteran experience could really help the next generation. I'm not saying that he's not an asset to pro wrestling and that he could be helpful, but unless he's coming in to be that assistance, CM Punk just thinks that with his, let me say this, it's not necessarily that I think that he thinks, his behavior is distributing that he thinks that everything's supposed to be handed to him. And I mean, he came and it's been a little lackluster of a return. It's like, CM Punk, okay, you came back. I think maybe he would have been better like being an announcer and having like special matches, but to put the title on him and then to have that back and forth, that hokey pokey that they talk about WWE does, it was like the 24/7 championship, the way that they were tossing that back between Moxley and CM Punk. It's like, you're injured, but now you're going to come back after being so-called injured and get the title. And now Mox is now like a 50-time AEW champion. It's like, I don't think they thought that through. So CM Punk, I think he needs to go home. We'll stay home and just evaluate what he wants to do with his career, because he's leaving a sour taste in people's mouths. And while him coming over to WWE could seem like the best business move ever, it's really not, because CM Punk and Triple H have had their issues. Again, this is where Triple H comes in as being that executive and being able to separate the two, which I think that he justly could. But I personally don't want to see CM Punk in WWE. And if his time has ran its course and his comeback, unfortunately, was just a flop, then it was just a flop. You burn bridges when you act a certain way. And as a grown man, he needs to just take accountability for that. Let's finish off with the Crown Jewel, not the predictions, but the match card. So there's 7 matches in total, 3 of them being title matches. So we have Omos versus Braun Strowman, Drew McIntyre versus Karrion Kross with Scarlett, of course, in a steel cage match. The OC, AJ Styles, Karl Anderson, Luke Gallows versus Judgment Day, Finn Balor, Damian Priest, Dominic Mysterio. I'm sure Rhea will be along. Backtrack, it's going to be interesting to see what Scarlett wears, because Scarlett can't do her gear and all that. She likes to wear her risque clothing. She can't do that in Saudi. So I'm sure she's gonna be covered and still look fly. I'm sure she's gonna look good. Then we have Lesnar versus Lashley, which should be a banger. Should be a banger. As long as they let Lashley fight, don't have Lesnar body him. Then over on the championship match side, we have the Usos, which was announced on Friday to be facing the Brawling Brutes for the Undisputed Tag Team Championship. Bianca Belair versus Bayley for the Raw Women's Championship in a Last Woman Standing match. And then we know that Roman Reigns versus Logan Paul for the Undisputed WWE Universal Championship. Still hate the name of that title. We have Logan, who's in his third WWE match, and Roman, who has done all that you can do in WWE. He's a Grand Slam champ. He's been in the WWE for 12 years, a decade of that being on the main roster. He's a 2-year reign as a tribal chief, head of the table, leader of the bloodline. Can he really lose to Logan Paul of all people? To Logan Paul. I know WWE got him because he got a big audience. I know WWE is banking on his success too. But don't disrespect Roman like that and have him lose to Logan. And don't have Austin cash in either. Mm-mm. No. Now is not the time for Roman to lose. I'm hoping y'all push this to Mania and give me Jay versus Roman. I'm saying it now. Give me Jay versus Roman. It's going to bring that storyline full fucking circle. And then Jay could have his Mania. Kofi Mania type of moment. Wow. Could you imagine? Could you imagine? We don't know. The bloodline changes so much. We don't know what's going to happen. So that's it for this recap. Stay tuned for our Crown Jewel prediction show. And then next week's recap will be the Crown Jewel post show. Thank you guys so much for tuning in. I am Lakia, 1/3 of our broadcasting team. Max and Font will be back for the prediction show. And I'll talk to you guys in the next one.
Stay tuned to the Half Right Podcast.